Gil's birthday is Friday, his fifth birthday.
His fifth birthday?
No, his second birthday. Just wishful thing.
Did we just time jump? What the hell?
He's a hitman. Hey, welcome to Radio Labyrinth, everybody. No, my son is not a hitman, but he will be 2 years old by the time you listened or watched this, and I'm very proud of him. And I'm a little punch drunk tonight, guys, because this is my third show of the day. And earlier in the day, I did an interview with Madeline Brumby and Shane Morton. We've had Shane on the show before a long time ago, but there's an event that they do at the Plaza Theater. And here's a poster for it. Can you see the poster? You can't if you're just listening. But it is Professor Morte's Silver Scream Spook Show, showing this time on June 3rd, Saturday, June 3rd at the Plaza Theater. The 1955 classic Revenge of the Creature, which is the sequel to The Creature from the Black Lagoon. And what they do is two shows. They do a matinee show, which is suitable for families and kids. And then they do a late night show where you can talk about jizz and horse cock. No, I'm kidding. They hadn't seen that. You know, we can say whatever the hell we want.
Is it like an old-timey, like, creature feature type of show?
Yeah, and they do a live show with improv and games and fun stuff. And you know, with Shane, you're not going to be disappointed. Same with Madeline. They're both really cool people, and I enjoyed my conversation with them. So if you're listening to this Saturday morning, you could tune in on WSB using the radio app, or if you live in Atlanta and you have a radio, of all things, you can listen that way, 7 to 8 p.m., or you can catch the podcast, which comes out in a couple of days. So there's that. But yeah, they were a lot of fun to talk to. And I asked them to come on this show. And they said anytime. So I'd love to have them come on. Shane, of course, did all sorts of fun things. He worked on Yule Log with Casper Kelly and Dave Willis. And he also did all the stuff for Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, among, you know, many, many other things. So if you like that stuff, you'll like the interview, and then we'll have him on here and we'll talk for even longer. It'll be cool. Let's see. Speaking, well, you know, I found out that there's we had Valen Hall on the show last week from Righteous Gemstones, Aunt Tiffany, the toilet baby. And she's friends with TJ Hassan, who's an actor that I had on the podcast. And they're all friends also with Josh Warren, who we've had numerous times on this show. So I thought this week I would do a nice thing and give Josh a plug. Not that they're really going to need it, because their guest this week at the Dynamic El Dorado is Dan Fogler.
Former podcast guest, Dan Fogler.
That's right. And we hope to get him back again. And also Cooper Andrews, who you
nice.
Will know from The Walking Dead. It's called The Pantheon. It's Sunday the 28th, 8 p.m., at the Dynamic El Dorado, which is in the Old Fourth Ward. If you want to check it out, just go to dynamiceldorado.com. It's improv. It's fun. We've talked to Josh about this a little bit, but we're going to talk to him a lot more in the future. And I'll just say one more thing about it, and then we can get going here. He says, it's true stories and improv comedy. So people will be telling real stories and doing improv. And Dan Fogler is, I'm sure, a fantastic storyteller as well. So
I love storytelling shows.
Yeah, I do too.
And I used to have one at Relapse. Like when I quit doing stand-up, I would dip a toe back in and go and do the storyteller show at Relapse, where you just sit on the stage and tell the host a story. And I loved it. And one of the stories I told was that Koechner story, and it killed.
Oh, I love that. See, you're good at telling stories.
No.
I think
you're not good at being a tomahawk, though.
No, totally not.
No. And wasn't it funny that we found out that you weren't the only one who had a problem with David Koechner?
Apparently,
everyone.
The State Patrol has trouble with him, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, if you would like to hear us talk about shows that we're currently watching in a little more in depth than we do on here, we are currently doing and will be finishing up Barry season 4 on our Patreon page. And all you have to do to become a Patreon member is go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. $5 and up gets you access to that weekly show. Once Barry is done, we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back and do Righteous Gemstones, which is probably one of the funniest shows, serial episodic shows on TV right now. And again, is patreon.com/Tim Andrews. If you sign up for the producer level, well, you get yourself all sorts of things like a t-shirt and stickers, and you get a customized doodle like this one I did of Han Jones or Indiana Solo, and then a little Chewbacca thing at the bottom at the short round.
Short Baca's
hat.
I'm glad that you did not make Chewbacca Asian.
I wouldn't have known.
I'm so glad you didn't do that.
How would I have done that? Put that little Chinese hat on him, give him some buck teeth.
Any of that. Just any of it. Give him chopsticks for fangs.
No. Okay. we do thank all of our producers. Thank you, all of our Patreon members. It's so awesome. Let's now thank our producers, Tim Slayton, Brian and Chelsea Smith. I am working on a drawing for them right now. Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Chris Chandler, Roby Neely, Kevin Jackson, Mike D, and Matt Carter. We appreciate you guys very, very much. And if you're a producer who does a podcast with your son, we'll give you a plug. Check out Roby's YouTube channel, Chatting with Daddy, and enjoy that as well. When Gilbert's able to talk, I may have him do some stuff with me as well. So anyway, this is a holiday weekend, so hopefully when you're traveling, you've got the podcast on. Not if you're watching it. Of course, you got to pay attention to the road. Maybe if you're riding in the car with somebody.
But, or you could do like Steph and watch it while you drive.
You watch stuff while you drive? What do you watch?
I watch the OC on the way to work.
How?
On the way home from work.
How the fuck?
On their screen, in her car.
Yeah, just like, I just play it and put it there. And, you know, when I have time at a light, I'll look down randomly and see what Ryan and Summer are doing. And
you have a Tesla? Is this something that drives on its own?
No, it's just me tempting fate.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, if you get pulled over, what were you doing? I was watching the OC. That show's 20 years old. What the fuck's your problem?
Like, I never watched it.
Oh, so now you're into it. You know, that happened to me. That happened to me with Melrose Place. I was like, when it came on, I was like, oh, nobody watches. This is dumb. I'm smart. And then one morning I woke up, it was on E, and I watched an episode and I was hooked.
I'm so into it. And also, I didn't realize how many cool indie bands were on the show in the early 2000s. Like The Killers were first broke on there, Modest Mouse. And then the main kid on there. Now I'm so into Death Cab for Cutie, it's ridiculous. Now I'm listening to all their shit because there's so much Death Cab on the show.
Who did the theme to the OC? Was it a Captain Planet?
I don't know, Jeff. You
don't know that song? Jason Schwartzman, the old band. I can't remember what they were called.
Captain Planet. Not Captain Planet.
Yeah.
Planet. California.
Not a huge fan of that, but I do like it. Like here in where the soul meets body, like, and you see like shots of the ocean and the beach and shit, and you're just like, fuck my life. Fuck this shit.
That was an amazing album, that first album.
Their lyrics.
Yeah.
My God.
I only know one. What band are you talking about again?
Death Cab for Cutie. Yeah,
I only know one song by them.
Gil's looking weird today.
I know. He has one eye.
Hello, Izzy.
Hi, Izzy. Everybody.
Esmeralda.
Izzy, say hello. I told my son, Gil, that Izzy, because he kept going, I. And I said, yes, Izzy has one eye. We have two eyes. And I said, Rizzo has two eyes. That's our other dog. I. And so he started walking around the house going, Izzy, I. And Caitlin said, why did you teach him about the one eye? So he knows that everybody's different.
Yeah. You don't want him like out in public one day and he sees some one-eyed person. And
when I was a little kid, my mom was at the doctor's office and there was a guy there, you know, had one of those arms where the fingers are on the elbow.
Yeah.
And And I drew him, and I went up to him, and I went, "I drew you a picture, mister." And it was just this guy with fingers on his elbows.
Oh, my God.
My mom was like, embarrassed. That's why I remember it, because my mom was pissed.
You're like Jonah Hill in Superbad. You had a lunchbox full of arms with fingers on the elbow.
We're not making fun of people like that. We're making fun of me for bringing that up.
Did you give him the strong hand?
No.
Take the little elbow. It's the only one strong enough.
It's the little elbow. All right. So it is, I'm so all over the place, guys. I'm so sorry. I'm just hosting the show is so different than it is sitting there waiting for your opportunity to speak.
Anybody else going anywhere for Memorial Day?
Yeah. Anybody going out of town?
No.
Steph, you're not driving to like the beach with the OC on?
No. I'll probably be watching the OC, but no, I'm not going.
I'm 285. She's going to take the whole weekend and just circle 285, finish the rest of the season.
I'm not going anywhere. Definitely not.
Well, we decided that since it's Memorial Day weekend, what is Memorial Day weekend all about? It's primarily about remembering and memorializing people who've served the armed forces in the United States. Am I correct on that?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you also remember people. I remember when I was a kid, my grandparents would always go to a cemetery and put flowers at somebody's grave. And it wasn't their parents, because my great-grandparents were still alive at the time, so I don't know who they were visiting. But
we would always do the band thing at the cemetery.
That's right. That's right.
And somebody would always pass out, inevitably.
Because it was hot?
Yeah.
Was it you who passed out?
No, I never passed out, but somebody would always pass out every year.
Especially when we were younger, because we had band uniforms. This is in the early 80s. We had band uniforms that my mom used in 1964. So they went 20 years or so, they used these. And we got new ones that were all polyester and dumb looking.
Mine was, I was in eighth grade and I played the flute at Ecorse High School. And I was too fat for most of the uniforms. And they finally found one that I could jam my fat ass into. And the friction from the polyester with my thighs rubbing together, I'm surprised I didn't burn the school down.
By one time at band camp?
Uh-huh.
I never went to band camp.
You never did that? Okay.
No.
Why not?
Oh, well, yeah, where are we? This was a school in the hood. There was no band camp. Well, I'm like you. Those uniforms were old as dirt. I think they were from the 50s.
Yeah, my mom's were shitty. I mean, the same one, same slats, same everything. And they were wool. So no wonder people passed out. The polyester ones were different. All right. So since it's Memorial Day weekend, we thought we'd... first of all, thank everyone for the service and you know, remember people in your family who sacrificed, and whether they made it back alive or not, they still served. So that's one thing we like to say thank you for. But also, there is a Reader's Digest article, the 28 movies to watch for Memorial Day, and we'll put the link in the, you know, all that information so you can look at all of them. But we decided not to read that entire list that we didn't create and just pick a couple of them that we like. And I, you know, watching all sorts of, you know, Memorial Day, if you have really nothing going on, I guess you could sit around and watch movies, right? And which I'll get to later. I'm in a rewatch phase, which I need to drastically break out of. I need to break out of that because I'm behind.
I think History Channel 2 is showing the entire Band of Brothers series, which is really good to watch on Memorial Day.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen it so many times, though. I think I've watched it like 5 times.
I like it when Ziggy brings his duck. When they're invading, messing up. That's a different show. So we all picked our own, and some of them overlap. But I'll just go first, and if they overlap, then we'll just, you know, keep the conversation going. But, you know, a couple of movies that I like to watch regardless of when it is. Born on the 4th of July.
I agree with everything you say.
But I serve my country, and they just want to take from it. Just take, love it or leave it. That's what I think. And then the other side is angry, no, because we're not winning the war. How can we win a situation like that? How can we win? Tommy, what's the matter?
Nothing. You guys remember Born on the 4th of July?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Tom Cruise really, did he direct it? No, he didn't direct it.
That was Oliver Stone.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's a kind of a true story based on Ron Kovic, who was a guy who was a gung-ho, you know, lover of the red, white, and blue. And you know, he supported the country, you know, voluntarily went to Vietnam and got shot and was paralyzed. And
kind of Lieutenant Danish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kind of Lieutenant Danish. And I think maybe Lieutenant Dan was sort of based on him.
Yeah.
But it's a really an anti-war kind of movie from Stone. Oliver Stone, you know, visited Vietnam whenever he could in his films since he served there. But you have the, you know, Willem Dafoe, Kira Sedgwick. That's when I think a lot of people, including myself at the time, fell in love with her. Like, first you see her in Braces, and then you're like, oh, Kira Sedgwick. Tom Berenger, and just a whole bunch of people in that movie that made it really, really good. And I don't know. Frank Whaley was in it. Raymond J. Barry. Raymond J. Barry always playing a jerk dad. What can you say about it? I mean, when it came out, I think it was 1989. Of course, Jeff and I saw it in the theater. And we were both really like, really biting into the, really leaning into the anti-war stuff, you know, because Bush was president and, you know, Panama and all this other crap. And then the music in the movie was so good. We were into all that music. And it was just at the right time for me, I think, to really enjoy a film like that. The next one for me would be Crimson Tide.
No, I just think that in the nuclear world, a true enemy can't be destroyed.
Tension on deck. Von Clausewitz will now tell us exactly who the real enemy is.
Von? In my humble opinion, in the nuclear world, the true enemy is war itself.
Crimson Tide, not really a war movie. I don't think there's an anti-war or a pro-war sentiment. It's just an interesting story. You guys like that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always liked Crimson Tide better than The Hunt for Red October.
Yeah, there weren't as many stupid accents that didn't jibe.
That's right, I'm from Russia. Directed by Tony Scott, produced by Don Simpson and Jerry Bruckheimer. It's basically a very claustrophobic film with Denzel Washington, Gene Hackman, George, how do you say his name? Zanuza? Zanuza? You know, from Law and Order. Early appearances by Viggo Mortensen and James Gandolfini. They're both in there. And when did it come out? I saw this movie in the theater by myself in Shippensburg, Pennsylvania, when I was living down there. And the day off from Bob Evans, I said, I'll go see Crimson Tide. I'm the commander of the ship.
There's a quiet dignity in going by yourself.
There is. I love going to the movies. Yeah. And then the last one for me is Saving Private Ryan.
Doesn't make any sense, sir. Why? Why do I deserve to go? Why any of these guys? They all fought just as hard as me.
They're supposed to tell your mother when they send her another folded American flag?
Tell her that when you found me, I was here, and I was with the only brothers that I have left. And there's no way I was going to desert them.
Saving Private Ryan was such a good movie. I saw it twice in the theater, the first time in the front row, which was a stupid mistake because you're looking up the whole time. But Saving Private Ryan, I think, is one of my favorite Tom Hanks movies. And a great ensemble cast, Steven Spielberg. It's a great movie. So that's I'm going to leave it there and let someone else go.
Yeah, those are all of mine. So you stole all of mine except for Great Escape. That's one of mine.
Hills, isn't it?
Captain Hills, actually.
17 escape attempts.
Why do you like Great Escape? I'm curious.
That's just a great movie. Stephen Queen.
Yep.
Yeah, kind of a classic.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Tarantino kill off that guy that from...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rick Dalton.
Yeah, Rick Dalton. Rest in peace, Rick Dalton.
They made it to 90. That's pretty good for an imaginary actor.
Yeah, usually they killed a lot sooner than that. He lived longer than Tina Turner. Anyway, go ahead. Rest in peace, Tina Turner. We can talk about it if you want. I was very shocked by that. I didn't know she was ill.
Yeah, she's been ill for a while.
Not shocking because she's 83 years old. That's a good long life. What an amazing story she has. We talked about it on air today. You know, the movie What Love Got to Do with It, Angela Bassett. Great film, I think. And all that music. How could you not like Tina Turner from her, you know, rocking and rolling soul days with the dancing and all that and the beaded dresses that moved with her butt. And to the 80s where she had so many hits. How could you not like Tina Turner? If you don't like Tina Turner, I don't want to talk to you.
Let's see, mine, Apocalypse Now.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Not very uplifting.
No, it's not an uplifting Memorial Day film, but I'm sure it probably is a little closer to reality in some respects than some of the other war films. I think they did that on purpose. But the performances, Brando and Sheen, all the iconic lines. I mean, it's something that I try to watch at least once a year, and this is always a good weekend to throw it on.
Yeah.
So that's one of mine. Black Hawk Down.
You know, a friend of mine asked me before I got here, why are you going to fight somebody else's war? What do y'all think, you're heroes? I didn't know what to say at the time, but if you asked me again, I'd say no. But nobody asks to be a hero. It just sometimes turns out that way.
Again, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago with the action movies. Just a great military movie. Tragic story, of course, but most of these tend to be tragic stories. Ensemble cast, an ensemble cast that would then go on to pretty much be the casting list for most action movies for the next 10 years after it was made.
I think Tom Sizemore is amazing in that.
Yeah. Just a great movie. Again, it was a little more our generation of a war movie, so it kind of hit home a little more to me because I could relate to those guys a lot more than I could relate to 20 somethings from the 60s or the 40s.
Right.
But great movie. And Tigerland.
Sir, you got any advice on how to stay alive in Vietnam?
Courage is when you're the only guy who knows how shit scared you really are.
Tigerland's it's kind of a pre-war movie because most of it happens at a training camp that they had set up in Louisiana to make it resemble the jungle of Vietnam, so that you'd send all the troops there. It would kind of be the last stop before you would get sent over to Vietnam. Colin Farrell plays the, what's his name, Boss, I think is his name. And he's kind of known around there as somebody you would go to if you wanted to find out how to not get sent over to Vietnam. He would try to find ways to get out of service, but he gets drafted anyway. And so he's kind of up against a bigoted commander above him. So he has to fight through everything. But it was an interesting take on kind of like Good Morning Vietnam. It's an area of the military movies that you don't really get a lot of attention paid to. You get a lot of wartime, you get a lot of gunfights in most movies, but you don't get like training before the event happens, things that, where there are plenty of stories.
Just like Officer and a Gentleman is the only one I can think of.
Yeah.
The training beforehand.
And those are usually at type, at like West Point or at a some kind of institution, where this one was, at that time, a lot of stuff was kind of they would just throw it together and it would be, it would be in existence for the time of the war. And then after that was over with, it'd be disbanded. So stories like that are, I always find kind of interesting because they're not the normal thing you see, but that's one of my favorites, Tigerland.
Oh, cool. Steph, do you have some?
It's funny that you say that about the training. My first one would be Biloxi Blues.
Oh, yeah.
I love that movie.
That's such a great movie.
Such a great movie. I've seen it so many times. And it's, it's got
crackers.
I mean, Walken, Matthew Broderick. I mean, everybody's so.
Southern prostitute with that voice.
Yeah. It's such a timeless classic. I've seen it. I mean, you can just watch it anytime it's on. So that'd be my first one. My second one is just because I was so in love with him, River Phoenix. It was a movie called Dogfight with him and Lily Taylor, where he's on leave and they're going to, you got to find the ugliest date and bring her to this thing. And then you win the pool. And of course, so he starts to fall for her. And and of course I was like, there's no fucking way, but whatever.
Right.
And so Dogfight would be number two. And then my third one is a classic tale of just grit. And it's a movie called Top Secret.
It is a hospital, mein General. What is the condition of Sergeant Kruger? Yes, I see. Well, let me know if there's any change in his condition. He's dead.
And I love that movie with Val Kilmer.
It's a good movie. You don't like it? Or are you being facetious?
No, I love it. I love it. I've seen it a million times. And, you know, it takes place during World War II. And
it's a Zucker Brothers movie, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
One of their best. You got to straighten the rug.
And all the songs, he sang all those songs.
Silly
too.
Can you get? Yeah, yeah.
Well, we wish, just remember the people who served. And even if you're not going to sit around for 6 hours and watch movies, even if you don't have a relative who served, take a minute and think about it. Think about it. Think about the people who sacrificed. Think about the people who've been in Iraq and Afghanistan and places like that since, I don't know, 2001, 2002. Think of people that are still there. You know what I mean? People still have to go over there and clean up whatever mess the last three presidents have made. 4, 5, 6. We've been at war ever since the 90s. So anyhow, enough of my proselytizing. Sorry. Everybody, I want to say thank you to Mike Hall in Atlanta Pizza and Euro. By the way, big news. He was catering for a studio on a big film. Wouldn't say what it was, but...
Oh, cool.
He told me about it. I think that's awesome. They are our longtime sponsor, and we really appreciate all the support over the years. We do need to get back out there and do another meet and greet, so we're going to work on that. Please join AP&G for the weekly Tuesday night team trivia from 7 to 8:30 p.m., and enjoy 16 draft beer taps available with 40 other beers to choose from in bottles and cans. And they do have a strong emphasis and focus on local Georgia and Southeastern craft breweries. Serving the best freshly made pizza and Greek and Italian specialties around in an authentic retro dive pizza place with a come as you are family friendly atmosphere. But that doesn't mean you can't wear pants. You really, really got to wear pants. Dine-in and takeout available. Limited deliveries also available through Slice, DoorDash, Grubhub, and Uber Eats. If you're a business or corporate client who's looking to book a food truck for your next private event or catered luncheon, just contact Mike Hall at Atlanta Pizza and Euro, 770-483-6228. They are open for dine-in and takeout Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturday 12 to 9, closed on Sunday. Also, do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, if you do, contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. In Athens, Georgia, since 2005, with fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com. All right, guys. So what I said earlier in the show is I'm stuck now outside of Barry because there were all these shows that I was watching and loving. And I still like Yellow Jackets, but I've kind of fallen off.
Yeah, fall off of that.
I have no idea what the hell's going on. I've watched every episode, but yeah, I'm confused as hell.
And
it's coming up. I mean, it's the end of it. And you got, what, 2 more episodes left?
Yeah, and then you're not going to get another season for like 3 years because of the stupid strike.
True.
The strike isn't stupid. And the people striking aren't stupid. It's just stupid that
they won't pay them.
Yeah. I'm not saying the strike is stupid itself. I'm just saying.
Are the actors going on strike too? Did they vote to strike?
Wasn't that this week they were voting?
They were. I think they voted yes, but I don't know if they're going on strike or not.
I don't know. These studios can afford this shit, and they better not. Anyway, we can talk about that. They're talking about using AI and buying licensing fees for these actors. Because there really are no more movie stars, like big name movie stars. Tom Cruise will be the final one. Timothy Chalamet is not going to fill a theater, even though he's a great actor. I'm just saying there's no big time movie stars like there used to be. So I'm kind of stuck in this rut. And I rewatched season 7 of Curb Your Enthusiasm just because it's one of my favorite seasons. That's a Seinfeld.
It's a man on her pussy.
The most ridiculous line ever. then the Grotz disease thing with Duberstein. And then, of course, inevitably, it happens. I go back to my comfort space at The Sopranos.
Was this number 7? 8?
No, way more than that.
You're not watching Bupkis?
I don't know what that is.
It's the Pete Davidson show where Carmela is his mom.
Oh, no, I don't make it a habit of watching anything that he's in.
That's good.
Unless I got Bupkis for that. So anyway, that's bringing up. But I do need to finish Yellow Jackets. And you guys are talking about a lot of stuff. Like last week we talked about Silo, Queen Charlotte. Are you guys watching The Idol?
Oh, God. I don't know. I may just have to watch it just to see if it's as bad as people are saying that it is.
I'm hearing all these stories about Jizz.
I don't know.
The Weeknd and Lily Rose Depp. That's her name, right? That's Johnny Depp's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Weeknd. Oh, Jizz daughter.
I love The Weeknd's music. I'm a huge fan. But I saw some clips of him acting and it was terrible.
That's sad.
Probably as good as that remake of White Men Can't Jump. That was horrible.
That was disgusting.
Yeah, I watched 5 minutes and I couldn't get past it.
I couldn't watch the preview. And that Jack Harlow kid, yeah, he's great for what he does and stuff. And he fills arenas and these kids are mental about him. And he's a pretty good live performer, but he's not a fucking actor at all.
/ basketball pro or anything.
Well, I read this story about how people are mad now at Sam Levinson because the show is so graphic and it's pointless, whereas opposed to Euphoria, where there's a story and that people like.
I think it's just because the acting is good on Euphoria. People will always forgive any sort of, you know, horrible things as long as the acting is good.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. And plus, you have what's her name on Euphoria?
Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah, that I don't really know very much about her.
Yeah, I would.
I just know she's a good actress.
Well, I think the lead on the show is pretty damn good too, though.
Who's the lead? Zendaya?
Yeah.
She's great on that show. She really is.
Why does she only have one name? Can't she? Was she a singer first or something?
Well, she was a Disney kid, right? Didn't she have a show on Disney?
Yeah.
So some of the other things I've been doing is listening to a lot of podcasts. Stephen Wright's been on everything, so I've listened to those. Those are great. And the Rogan one, he just does a lot of listening, of course.
Yeah.
Is that right? Wow. But the one podcast this week that came out that I've gone back to over and over again is Will Sazzo on Theo Vaughn. You guys
there?
Yeah.
Where he does about 15 straight minutes of mocking Jesse Ventura.
Yeah.
And that is well-deserved mocking, because if you watch the Jesse Ventura Theo Vaughn, which I couldn't get through because he was so fucking annoying, 3 hours of just blathering it, you know, with Theo not being able to get any words out. So I understand you're a comedian. Ill and how great Will Sasso is at doing that. Nobody can do him like Will does.
Yeah.
It's the best. He sounds exactly like
him. Hey, the kids saw him at the Beacon in New York City a week and a half ago.
Saw Will or Theo?
Theo.
Oh, okay.
The Beacon. Like I'm assuming that he did, yes. But he was very geeked about going.
I bet. Oh, man. I haven't really been practicing. I have to learn how to do that stupid DeSantis. Don't get mad if you like Ron DeSantis.
He always just seems so over it. He's just over it.
He just announced his presidency today.
Yeah.
Or his candidacy.
Nobody could hear it, but he announced it. The first 20 minutes of that thing was just like garbled mess.
With Elon, yes. And so one of the things I was thinking about doing is buying Radio Labyrinth for $45 million. Okay.
Sold. American.
$40 million, that's $10 million for each of us.
Oh, my God. I wouldn't even go into work. I wouldn't call them nothing. No. Just disappear.
Yeah.
This is a fucking peer.
I'd still work. I just, you know, put the money away and never have to want for anything. But you still live in your shit neighborhoods and your shit. I mean, if I won the lottery and I lived in a dump, I don't now live in a dump. But if I did, I would stay in the dump and I would not tell anybody, you know?
I mean, I wouldn't tell anybody, but no, I would get the fuck out of the state.
Yeah. Yeah.
The swamp and the fucking swamp.
Yeah, we're about to have swamp ass season.
Mm-hmm.
It's about that. It's, you know, the weather's been toying with us down here in Georgia, or over here or up here, depending on where you live. But it's been teasing us. Like, we'll get 3 or 4 days where it's hot, and then we'll have these cool days where it's rainy and cool. But it's going to sneak up on us and just hit us right in the balls, and then it's going to be swamp ass for 6 straight weeks.
I blame Christina Edwards.
What did she say?
Just, I blame her for all the weather.
Oh, I see. I thought you said, I agree with her. You can't.
I blame her.
Can't blame the weather. This is in Italy where they, you know, arrest geologists because they couldn't predict an earthquake.
Do you have a Christina Edwards impression, by the way?
No.
Yeah.
Why would I?
Because she said some words weird that I thought maybe you would have picked up on. Like,
I noticed them, but.
Barisi.
Saturday.
Yeah.
She's good, though. She's a good weather.
Yeah. I didn't know if you had an impression in your back pocket of her.
No, I didn't.
When you're doing your DeSantis training, you should just watch the interview he did with Piers Morgan.
Yeah.
You'll get you'll get everything from that.
That Matt Friend guy already got him.
Yeah.
That guy came out of nowhere. Now he's like the top impressionist.
Yeah, he's trying to be the next James Austin Johnson. Get on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. James Austin Johnson's really, really good.
Yeah.
Should do Tim Scott.
Yeah, he seems easy to do. And I wouldn't get in trouble because he doesn't have an urban affectation.
He wouldn't get in trouble because he's a Republican.
Well, that too. Well, some Republican might complain. But we're not talking about the differences between I don't give a shit.
Well, I'm just saying, you know how they're so hardcore against being woke.
Cancel culture. Games culture. Matt Friend, though, he does the best Howard Stern impression I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael McKeon's was pretty good.
Michael McKeon's was good for 90s Howard Stern. This is Howard Stern now. Right. He sounds just like him. And he also, I don't think his Trump is very good, but that's just me. I don't think mine's very good, but I don't think his is very good either. But he does do a DeSantis. He hasn't quite hit it yet, but he is a very talented guy. I hate all these young people coming up, getting those fucking people that don't hate the way they look because they like they're handsome and they're symmetrical. I'm asymmetrical and I hate the way I look. So the TikTok video, I'm like, can I cover this with something, please? Like something.
Your face looks like a hexagon.
I got 11,000 views on it. One of my TikToks.
Yeah. Wow.
Nice. That's pretty surprising to me. It's the Righteous Flintstones one I did, where I took characters from the Flintstones movie and put them on characters from the Righteous Gemstones. And I noticed Jeff looks at them, but he doesn't like them. So fuck you, Jeff.
Oh, you got your little footprints turned on.
Yeah, you don't like any of them. So people I don't know can like them. And then I did one where I took actual Flintstones footage.
I liked that one better.
Yeah, that one was funny.
But I posted it. And then it got flagged and kicked off.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
For what? Copyright?
They said, no, content, original audio, content violation. And I don't know if it was the swear words I left in, because the other ones have swear words in them, or it was because I had Barney Rubble's laugh at the end. So I cut the laugh out and bleeped the swear words and put it back up, and it's now at 47.
Nice.
Whatever. 47 whole views. TikTok's fun. I like it. I like it better than Twitter. Or Instagram. You can get on TikTok and then 6 hours later, you're like, well, I just watched 7,000.
I just watched 9,000 Mr. Slingshot videos on TikTok.
What's Mr. Slingshot?
Seek him out, man. You know that ride, the Slingshot?
Uh-huh.
It's a carnival ride.
Yeah.
This guy just has videos of people riding that ride.
Steph, what happened to our TikTok, potential TikTok Facebook guy? Anything? Do you ever get back to you? Or is he just
The last I heard, he was like, yeah, we'll set something up. And then, you know, and then, messable, just let me know.
Oh, I know why Jeff likes Mr. Slingshot. The real Mr. Slingshot?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll follow him. I know absolutely why Jeff likes
it. Yeah, I do too. I can just imagine. Is it one specific gender that's in the slingshot?
Yes, it is one okay. specific gender.
Well, I don't know how
right in the slingshot, right?
I don't know how these people identify. So we can't say that, you know, it'd be accurate. All right, guys, you want to yeah, their tits are showing. Steph, sorry for the sexism.
No.
You don't deserve that.
I don't really feel like it's projected towards me, so I'm fine with it.
Do you want to say anything about Ray Stevenson?
Yeah, I did. I wanted to, we talked about Tina Turner, 83 years old. Ray Stevenson, 58. I didn't know he was ill. What happened to him? Did you
say? I don't know. Well, I didn't hear what the cause of death was.
They said he was on a set and was rushed to the hospital, and that was the last that anyone had heard before he passed over the weekend.
It'd be like a John Ritter kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, the vax people are all, because he got the vaccination. You don't know that. Shut up. The same people did that with Jamie Foxx.
Oh, Jamie Foxx. Yeah.
It's all crazy conspiracy stuff. But Ray Stevens was awesome. I first saw him in Rome.
Anything
I've seen him in, I've liked him in, even if I didn't like what I was watching. He was on some shitty season of Dexter.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was an awesome Punisher in Warzone.
Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fucking was. He was a real good Punisher. I thought he was the best out of all of them, actually. You know, Thomas Jane was okay, but I thought he was the best one.
Yeah, he was the most believable badass.
Yeah. And he seemed like a nice guy, but the character in Rome, man, holy shit. I love Rome.
Me too. It was brutal.
Yep.
And we still got one more series. We got Ahsoka. He's in Ahsoka that's coming.
Yeah.
He'll be in.
Who's he playing in that?
He's a Sith with a red lightsaber, so that's what you've seen in the trailer of him. So
when does that start? I'm going to have to find a way to watch that because I can't Disney after Mando.
Pretty soon.
I thought it was like August.
September, maybe.
His views.
Or.
And snooze.
Snooze.
Yeah, we didn't do it last week, but it would have been Family Stallone, High Desert, and Love to Love You, Donna Summer. Which of these, I've only watched the first two episodes of Family Stallone. So I'm enjoying it.
What's the Donna Summer thing?
I Love You, Donna Summer. I think it's on HBO Max or maybe Showtime. It's a documentary about Donna Summer done by her daughter.
I might watch that. I love Donna.
And I like those kind of music documentaries. So I'm going to watch that, but I haven't watched it yet.
All right,
this week, FUBAR starts on Netflix, the new Arnold show, comedy.
That's a comedy?
Yeah.
With Arnold?
Yep. I think it looks funny.
Who else is it?
Fortune Feimster.
Oh, she's funny.
Yeah.
Man, he's supposed to be Netflix's new ambassador to action. He's actually on Netflix's payroll more so than just an actor.
Yeah,
they hired him. As an executive, but I thought it was going to be that Canadian. I was excited. I thought it was that Canadian FUBAR, the guys that were some of the Trailer Park Boys stuff. They made a movie called FUBAR, and yeah, I don't know how they got around that because it was on Netflix too, spelled the exact same way.
Yeah,
Scott Thompson's in it. Maybe I'll watch it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna use it. I just watched, I never saw, it came out in 2013, The Last Stand. That was funny.
Yeah.
Done that.
Yeah. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger, where he's the sheriff in that little town.
I've never seen that.
And it's got Johnny Knoxville in it.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. It's a good action movie.
Mm-hmm.
Gil walks around the house pointing at Forrest Whitaker and going, I. Sorry, Steph. I didn't mean to step on you.
All right. Number two is one that I hope we're all going to use.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
I Think It Should Leave starts the 30th.
Watch it three times before the first.
And then we'll get all sorts
of. The trailer came out today. Did you watch the trailer?
Oh, where is it? YouTube?
It's on Twitter. I saw it on, but I'm sure it's everywhere.
All right. I got to check that out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a view, Shmurba. And then number three. This is for Tim. It's called Silo's Baking Competition.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm watching that. I've already watched the other two.
This is not Rebecca Ferguson making pies in the silo.
No.
This is your arch nemesis, Joanna Gaines' baking show. It's turned into an actual series now.
Oh, cool. Because you only had two specials so far, yeah. And I watched both of them. I'm so excited. So what's it going to be, on Food Network? Or
it's on that Gaines Family Network, whatever it's called, Magnolia Network.
I'm not downloading another app.
Is that on Discovery or?
I don't know. Magnolia Network. You have to find it.
Damn it.
Other ones, it's probably on the same as that.
Well, you know, they always do the spring baking championship and the fall and the Christmas or whatever. Well, they did a summer one. So we're like neck deep in that. I was so excited. They finally did a summer one. And on Roku, they did the Great American Baking Show.
Yeah.
Was that any good?
Yeah, it was. It was really good.
I think I can probably get my wife to watch this one, Joanna Gaines. So maybe.
It'll be available on Vudu and Amazon.
Oh, good. You get to pay a minute.
Yeah.
All right.
So does your wife know how much you want to hang out with her husband?
I don't want to hang out with him anymore. I got his teeth fixed.
Okay.
I don't need to see that.
You're not into him anymore?
No. No. And she has too fierce of an eye. My staff pick this week is a movie that's debuted this week on Tubi by Matt Malero. You know Matt Malero, co-creator of Aqua Teen Hunger Force, and has been with Adult Swim for a while. He has a new movie called Postacopalypse. I can't say it. Postacopalypse. That is on Tubi. A celebrity chef loses his mind when there is a worldwide ban on gluten that destroys his career. He told me about this a couple of months ago, so I want to see it. I'm going to have to watch it in the next week or so, because I will be having him on the podcast in 2 weeks.
Steph, you want to do yours? I fell asleep during yours.
Really?
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought it was so good.
It was okay. I thought it was kind of boring.
I thought it was very funny. I laughed a lot, and I thought the action was good, and the special effects were really good. But it's Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves that was on Paramount Plus. I thought it was great. It reminded me of, like, I don't know, like an older movie where I would actually enjoy watching.
I heard off vibes like that, that was like 80s vibes.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Pine, I thought, was really funny, and Michelle Rodriguez was believable as kind of the badass chick or whatever. And
Hugh Grant was funny,
and then the little side characters, the little sorcerer dude was,
yeah,
he didn't believe in himself, he was pretty funny. But all the special effects were really good,
and yeah, the makeup was good, and the CGI, yeah, characters,
the dragons look great, even yeah, the dude from Bridgerton, he was really good in it too.
Donnie Most in it?
No, Donnie Most.
It was okay. I fell asleep at the end.
I'm excited to see it. I heard it has a bunch of, if you played Dungeons & Dragons, it's got a lot of Easter eggs in there too.
Yeah. So.
Oh, there's, yeah.
Like the treasure chest that's got teeth.
Oh, okay.
That's a character.
Like from the original Monster God.
Yeah.
Jeff and I can't watch it. We'll get in a fight after.
But all of the special effects were great. I really wished I would have seen it in the theater. This was one I feel like they could have released it at the theater and it would have done okay.
Mm. Yeah. Mine is, it's a YouTube, actually it's a YouTube video. Now, I ran across it this week and it's been playing constantly as I drive around. It is from Red Sky is the name of the YouTube channel, but it is a Norm Macdonald. They put together all of his radio interviews, like all of his, when he's on morning shows, when he's on anything. It's 8 hours long.
Does it have the Dennis Miller interviews too? Because he was on there all the time.
Oh, it's got Miller. It's he talks about, I mean, it's everything that they could find that's available. Cool. It's on there and it's decent. The audio quality on some of them, you can tell are really old and they digitized them. So some of it has a little bit of a digital thing to it, but there's so many and you can just kind of skip if you'd want, you can just kind of skip through, but so much
Stern
funny stuff. Yeah. Stern stuff's on there, but yeah, I mean, it's classic Norm. I mean, him him cutting jokes, him just pulling stuff on off the fly. And it really, some of them you can tell if he doesn't like the interviewer, he'll just control the show.
He was on such a show with Jason Sudeikis, and Sudeikis didn't get a word out. The host.
But that's fun. Cool. And that's on YouTube. And I'll put the put the link in the comments below.
Awesome.
Amen. Mine is Conan O'Brien for the summer. They're doing a reading of the script of the Hans and the Lost Hans and Franz movie.
Oh, really?
The Girly Man Dilemma.
Oh, God.
This was the movie that they wrote for Hans and Franz that never got made.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually Dana Carvey and Kevin Nealon and Robert Smigo and Conan reading it.
Fuck yeah.
And maybe they were teased that maybe Arnold was going to come in, but I don't know if he will or not for real.
I'll watch it.
It's just worth listening to.
Where do you
think it's on YouTube also? Podcasts.
Okay.
And I started watching that Smart Less on the Road docuseries on the new Max channel.
Mm-hmm.
I watched about three of them. It's pretty good so far. If you like the Smartless podcast, it's fun to watch.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's just about their live tour that they did. Like, they did a six-city live tour.
I might watch that, actually.
Yeah.
I don't like watching podcasts in front of people.
There's hardly any of the podcast in it. When they go to the actual live show, then that's basically when the episode ends.
Okay.
So it's all just the backstage shit and the...
Oh, I'd like that a lot, then.
Yeah. It's kind of like Comedians in Cars getting... Or not Comedians in Cars. What was that? Comedians of Comedy.
Yeah.
Patton Oswalt and Brian Posehn. It's kind of like that.
Cars.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. And thanks for indulging me tonight with my manic behavior. I'm now starting to come down from the coffee, and I have to go get dog food and then something to eat. Not that you care. Speaking of dog food, Steph, what's going on with Barkville?
I believe they are going to be at the Downtown Pooch on Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. And then I know the following week, it's the first Sunday in June, so it'll be at Caffeine and Octane out there in Kennesaw. So come on out, and if you want to adopt, or if you'd like to foster, they really need fosters right now. BarkvilleDogRescue.org. Woof.
Woof. All right, guys, thank you very much. We will talk to you next week. So, keep it canon.